Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Roto-World Football Podcast. As you know, it's the most important podcast in the universe. I don't have that much to tell you. Thank you so much for joining us for Roto-World Live every Sunday during the NFL season. The show got better as the year went along. You sustained your viewership. You tuned in for large amounts of time each time you clicked on the YouTube link. We really, really appreciate that. The only thing you could really help us out with now is to search Roto-World on YouTube and subscribe to that channel. And also, if you enjoy this podcast for any moment, for any minute, hit that subscribe button. And if you enjoy it even more than that, maybe leave us a rating and review, because that helps us out as well as we transition, not after this week necessarily, but after next week, to the NFL offseason. Lots of draft stuff, lots of offseason conversations, both here and video-wise. So we appreciate that. I'll be joined by Evan and Pat on Friday. I think Ray is doing this, his very podcast, on Thursday as well with Rich and Nick. But first up, it's Ray Summerlin, as always, to help you with the waiver wire ahead of your championship game. Ray, as everyone knows, we record this episode during halftime of the Monday night game, so I need to tell you that you're keeping me from a Daughtry performance at halftime.
I'm watching it on mute right now, and it's like a French film. Like, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, they're showing shots of an audience who is clearly played to be there, who's kind of like just like, you don't even see head bobbing, but Daughtry, man, he's giving it his all. He's got like an old timey radio mic. Get it, man.
Ray, Chris Daughtry is a top four American Idol contestant of all time.
Do you have a list? Yeah, I'm interested.
I've watched every season of American Idol except for season one. Okay. So this list cannot.
So you don't include Kelly or Justin?
So I can't include them. I apologize.
Because Kelly is clearly the number one answer.
Well, look, then we'll go the other four of the five, I guess. And I should reveal, I didn't start watching this out of my own accord. My mom allowed me to skip doing homework if I watched American Idol with her. Okay.
Goodness. It hasn't been on that long, has it?
Yeah. I mean, since I was in, I think like sixth grade, something like that. So then I just kept watching it over and over and over, even watched it on ABC when it switched over from Fox. Anyways, going on a little bit long here, Ray, the top four in no order, Chris Daughtry, as I mentioned, Clay Aiken, 1,000% Clay Aiken is on there. Yeah. Bridge Over Troubled Water, that's a must watch on YouTube and in standard definition. Phillip Phillips, for sure, and Fantasia Barrino. There's your top four, Ray. Any qualms?
Where's Ruben?
No, Ruben, I'm not going to say he's one of the worst winners, but that was Clay's season. And
well, what about My Sorry for 2004, which is, you don't know Sorry 2004, Ruben Sutter's My Sorry for 2004?
No, I don't.
What a quality piece of music that is. So like that's better than anything anybody on the list that you just gave me has ever done. That Phillips guy, didn't he do that home song that played in every commercial for like 7 years?
It was the anthem of the Olympics, I believe.
So that guy bought like 17 mansions on one song that plays on literally every commercial. Literally every commercial for like 3 years was that home song.
Look, he's top four contestant, as we've determined on the show. Later on, Ray and I have a new segment. We're going to talk a little bit about the playoff picture, maybe some teams that are just on the cusp. But first, Ray, it's your waiver column. Again, it's up on Roto-World right now. Let's start with Jamal Williams. Ray, I missed like the first two series of the Packers game. Then when I turned it on, Jamal Williams was getting every touch of the backfield for Green Bay.
Yeah, it was It was very upsetting for me personally as a longtime Aaron Jones shipper. I drive the bandwagon. Let's be very clear about that. So it was disappointing to see him go out. It certainly hurt quite a few dynasty teams. It looks like he's going to miss the rest of the season. The Packers claimed Capri Bibbs off waivers on Monday, which is a pretty good sign. They expect to be without Aaron Jones with a sprained knee. That leaves Jamal Williams in a workhorse role that has been pretty productive for Jones to this point. That was not really the case for Williams over the first 2 weeks of the season, but you know, he played the Bears and Vikings in those games, two defenses who we now know are really good against the run. He was able to go for 55 yards and a touchdown against Chicago last week in the rematch of that game that he played earlier in the year. And I mean, he gets the Jets and he gets the Lions over the final 2 weeks. There's nobody else on the roster. Like I said, they just claim Capri Bibbs. Williams should dominate carries over the next 2 weeks. And I mean, that's enough to make him a running back too. I don't think that he's Aaron Jones. I don't think he's on that level of fantasy player because I don't think he's as good a player as Aaron Jones, CC Mike McCarthy. But I think that type of volume is enough to keep him in that running back two range the rest of the season.
Can I throw out, it's not a conspiracy theory, but it's like a tier lower than that. So the line opened between Green Bay and the Jets in week 16 as the Packers favored by 3.5. It's down to a pick 'em already. Does Vegas know that it's going to be a DeShone Kizer game and not an Aaron Rodgers game?
It would be interesting. I think I saw a headline of some kind, a tweet of some kind that came out and said, Aaron Rodgers wants to play the rest of the season. And it took me back and I went, oh, that's in play? Like, it's in play. And maybe his knee's still not right. He's certainly not played at the level we expect Aaron Rodgers to play this season. He missed a throw again last week or on Sunday. That was just like, you don't expect Aaron Rodgers to miss those throws. So yeah, that would be very interesting. And if that's the case, then it certainly hurts everybody in that offense, except Devontae Adams, because you cannot stop Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is an unstoppable force of nature who is going to score touchdowns no matter what happens. But other than him, it certainly would be bad news for everybody.
Let's keep it going with Kalen Ballage. A rookie third day selection out of Arizona State. Look, Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake basically split touches out of this backfield almost 50-50. It was like 160 to 140, I believe. Then when Frank Gore went down, Kenyon Drake still didn't get touches. And they all went to Kalen Ballage, Ray. What does that tell you about week 16 for Ballage?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even that he didn't get touches. I know he ended up playing more snaps than Ballage, or I believe he ended up playing more snaps, or they were right at the same. But he didn't touch the ball, if I am remembering correctly. He didn't touch the ball in the second half. And then on Monday, they asked Adam Gase about it because there was some thought, all right, you know, he has this lingering shoulder injury. Does that have something to do with how they've been using it? He goes, nope, that nothing to do with it. So apparently they just don't want to use Kenyon Drake, which for Adam Gase, this is now because Devontae Parker is gone after this year as well. How many skill players now is this? That's three big time skill players and Jay Ajayi, Kenyon Drake and Devontae Parker that they just run out of town in his stewardship. So it's certainly interesting, especially for a team that, you know, took 9 sacks and completed 11 passes on Sunday. But I digress. One of the few bright spots on that offense was Ballage, who had a 75 yard touchdown run, which was basically was all of their offense in the second half. I believe they had negative yards outside of that run in the second half or something similar to that. So that was it. It seems like he's going to get that at worst, that Frank Gore role. So he's going to be the lead back. He's more explosive, I think, than Frank Gore. And we could talk about what we thought of him coming out of school, because I know you and I had a similar opinion of him. He certainly, I'm not sure that he's actually going to have success because I'm not sure how good of a running back he actually is. I know if you can get him into space, he's good and can make plays. But as a running back, I don't know how good of a running back. He could have a very Marlon Mack start to his career. I don't think that would surprise anybody, even if he improves in the future, if he kind of has struggles like Marlon Mack did last year. But I mean, if he's going to get these touches in an offense that's fine, that's okay. They do get the Jaguars this week, so it's not a great situation. I'm him and hawing because I think that that's really the way to view Kalen Ballage here, as a him and haw. If you really need a flex play, sure, but there's a lot of concern about him this week.
If memory serves, I believe Ballage was a former defensive end at Arizona State who also played running back. To me, he's a super comfortable receiver, and like that's where he was most comfortable, like you mentioned, out in space, despite his size. Like, his size would lead you to think he's like some power back. And he tested better, I think, at his pro day than he did at his combine, or at least improved throughout the offseason, throughout the draft season. But yeah, I mean, I know people liked him more than I did, so I just like kind of stopped talking about him, Ray. But he's more athlete than running back, if that makes any sense. But we've seen that, you know, hit with a number of other players when they get accustomed to the NFL way of life and learning from NFL coaches. So
yeah, I mean, David Johnson's a prime example of that.
He was one in my mind. I do have a question, though, Ray. Let's say you did have Aaron Jones. Let's say you don't want to trot out Leonard Fournette despite the perfect matchup that he's in because they just don't want to use him, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. Which of these running backs would you prioritize?
I would prioritize Jamal Williams. I think that his role is more secure. His offense, assuming that DeShone Kizer isn't going to suddenly start, is better. I think that he's the number one option. Elijah Maguire is still out there in roughly 2/3 of leagues. I would rather him over Ballage because, again, I think his role is more secure. That Jets offense is actually not bad with Sam Darnold playing okay, and they don't have a bad matchup this week in the Packers. Williams and Maguire actually play each other. So I would prioritize both of them over Ballage.
Okay, let's keep it going with Mike Williams. He put up huge numbers with Keenan Allen exiting that game super early.
Yeah, and I just want to mention him because he's not going to be in the waiver column because he's rostered in too many leagues for that. I don't know if he was before this week. I guess maybe some leagues allow pickups after Thursday games, but he's rostered in too many now. He's obviously going to be the number one add among wide receivers, but I mean, there has to be at least some caution for him. It seems like Keenan Allen's injury is not that serious. We don't know if Keenan Allen's going to actually sit. After that breakout, you would have to say, all right, well, they're going to use him. But I mean, he had a couple good games early in the season and then went on a run where he just didn't catch more than three passes in a game. So that's certainly a big concern. And then also, I mean, they play the Ravens this week, which is still not a very good matchup. So there is some concern about Mike Williams. I do think that he's the number one receiver add if he's available in your league. But just throwing out there, there is some concern about him moving forward.
You know, at least with Mike Williams, like he's not turning into maybe these number one wide receivers, but they don't need that with Keenan Allen, right? And there's not 32 to go around. But at least he's winning in the same way he won at Clemson, right? In contested catches and 50-50 balls. And that's good. That's a positive. And we've seen, you know, improvement from him this year, obviously, compared to last year where he missed a bulk of the year. We're just waiting on John Ross to do the same, right?
Keep those fingers crossed.
Well, hey, John Ross, wide receiver one, right? Like there's no, like the offense has to go through him. The passing offense does.
Well, John Ross is like the bizarro Mike Williams, that he's also just a really good red zone receiver. And that's it. Yeah. That's all he could do. If you throw the ball to him in the end zone, he's going to catch it. But otherwise, he's just going to let it sail over his head. What a weird year for John Ross.
Let's go to Robbie Anderson. He did a lot of nothing early on outside of one game. Now he's back, Ray. His last two games have been fantastic, and he and Sam Darnold have really hit off on a connection, it seems like.
Yeah, as I mentioned it when I was talking about Maguire, Darnold has been playing well the last 2 weeks. It finally showed up in the box score last week, and Anderson has really benefited. He's caught 11 passes for 172 yards and 2 touchdowns as a clear number one option in the passing game over the last 2 weeks. And this week he gets the Packers, who have given up the fifth most points to wide receivers this season. So I think if Mike Williams is not available in your league and I'm looking and trying to find someone I can plug in, maybe for a Keenan Allen, I think Robbie Anderson is the number one option on that list.
Ray, any updates on your barrel rolls and dive bombs while sleeping in the middle of the night?
I haven't fallen off my bed recently, but I do shed pillows. Yeah, I've fallen off. I have a scar on my head for when I was a child and I fell off my bed and hit a dresser, which was fun. It was a fun story that I won't regale here.
Okay.
But I do shed pillows. That's another part of my nightly violent routine, is that I have to have a couple pillows because one of them will certainly leave the bed in the middle of the night.
Is it pillows or pillows?
Well, I'm from the South, so what's the one that I'm supposed to say? I say pillows, I believe.
No, you have been saying pillows, my friend.
Have I been saying pillows? Yeah.
Yes, but let me digress. Let me tell you about Purple Mattress, because Purple Mattress is sponsoring this podcast. Purple Mattress is great. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to stop you from doing barrel rolls in bed, but it will probably feel different than anything you've ever experienced. So when you do those barrel rolls, at least it'll have that combination of both soft and firm at the same time. So it keeps everything supported while still feeling super, super comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps very, very cool. It has a 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied with Purple Mattress, you can return it for a full refund, backed by a 10-year warranty as well, free shipping and returns. Here at the Roto World Football Podcast, we like to give you free stuff, and you're going to love Purple. And right now, for our listeners, you will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. Again, that's a free pillow with the purchase of a mattress. Just text ROTO to 474747. Again, you're probably near your cell phone right now. So when you buy that mattress, go and text ROTO to 474747. Message and data rates may apply. Ray, let's keep it going with Robert Foster. Robert Foster like had zero production at Alabama.
Yeah.
It's funny. I remember going back because everyone was super excited for Calvin Ridley, who was an old prospect even coming out of high school. Okay, an old recruit. And Robert Foster played like in three games his freshman year, three games his sophomore year. But like in those games, I remember a few flashes and I sent out some tweets from that. But then he played like every game his final year and still put up like 100 receiving yards and that's it. And he's already like quadrupled that this year during his undrafted rookie year.
Yeah, I went looking for tape on him in the spring and it just didn't. Like it didn't exist. Yeah. It was, you couldn't find him like making, it was really crazy. But I mean, we look at what's happened over the last 5 weeks and we kind of jumped on the Zay Jones bandwagon a couple weeks ago after he scored two touchdowns. But what happened is we missed the boat on Reuben Foster in the last 2 weeks. Robert Foster, I apologize. He's caught 11 passes for 212 yards and a touchdown. He now has at least 94 yards in four of his last five games with two scores over that span. He's a deep threat. He can really stretch the field. It's a great fit with Josh Allen, who, by the way, like Sam Darnold's kind of playing well lately, something to keep an eye on. And so I think that he has a pretty good chance to keep this run going against the Patriots. It's a game the Bills will likely have to throw more than they would like. So I think he's a pretty good play this week. I actually have him second on my list ahead of Terrell Williams, ahead of Tim Patrick, ahead of Antonio Callaway, because I just think we've seen that he's going to continue to get targets. We know he's a big play threat. It might not hit. That floor might finally hit. But we've seen what the ceiling is, and the ceiling for this guy is like a top 20 wide receiver. So I think that he's a adventurous but good play this week.
Let's keep it going with Tim Patrick. I think this is the last of the group you mentioned to me. Yeah. I believe Tim Patrick, Ray, has led the Broncos in receiving each of the last two games that Emmanuel Sanders has been out for.
That's correct. And Deshaun Hamilton, who, especially if you're in PPR leagues, is another kind of good play if you're searching for somebody. He has led the team in targets and kind of stepped right into that Emmanuel Sanders role. But Tim Patrick and not Cortland Sutton has been the one who has really taken over on the outside. I kind of incorrectly dismissed him last week under the assumption that what he did a couple weeks ago was because of Cortland Sutton's lingering injury. Perhaps there was some truth to that, but I do think Sutton left that game on Saturday briefly, so perhaps that's still there. But Patrick has simply looked like the more effective perimeter option for the Broncos right now. And you look at their matchup here against the Raiders, you're certainly not scared of that. So I look at all of this, the targets he's getting, the kind of receiver he is, the big plays that he's able to make. And I think there are safer options out there. Jordy Nelson, oddly enough, is probably a safer option at this point. But I think that Patrick is a high upside guy who has shown a nice little floor the last couple games. And I think that he's a very sneaky play that you could throw in there.
I don't think Cortland Sutton's going to be a thing until there's another quarterback in Denver.
You might be right. This might be the Josh Doctson, Alex Smith corollary.
Yeah, something like that. I just don't think that like where Cortland Sutton wins is not where Case Keenum throws and wins, if that makes sense. Anyways, Ray, I got to tell you about draft.com. You can draft Tim Patrick. You can draft Robbie Anderson, Robert Foster, whoever else you want on draft.com. Again, we like free here. So go to draft.com/RotoWorld or enter promo code RotoWorld in the App Store, Google Play, wherever you download draft, because you get a free $3 entry into draft.com when you have a deposit. The best thing about draft, it's like different DFS site than you're used to. You just draft one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers and tight ends. That's it. Again, draft.com/RotoWorld. Ray, time to get in the playoff picture here. I threw out this idea to you last minute because that's what I do. And I think we're going to go with the AFC and then the NFC. One team that is out of the playoff picture that you would most like to see in the playoff picture. Ray, I think this is an easy choice for who you're going to go with.
Well, are we starting with the AFC? I would go with the Colts. I mean,
me too.
I think that what's interesting about the AFC playoff race is the Ravens like basically have to win this week against the Chargers, because if they don't, the Colts play the Giants at home where they're 9-point favorites, and the Titans play Washington at home, I believe, where they are 10-point favorites. And if both those teams win, they play in week 17, and that means the Ravens are eliminated, I believe, if my math is correct. So that's going to be something fascinating, certainly, to watch on Saturday evening. But the Colts are the most interesting because that defense is really, we saw it against the Cowboys again. Rich Rebar in the works, he's made several notes about how good they've been playing as of late. And if you're matching that defense with Andrew Luck, with hopefully a healthy T.Y. Hilton, with hopefully an Eric Ebron who brings his hands at some point in the future, Marlon Mack, you know, playing better, as I kind of referenced earlier in the pod, that's an interesting team. And that's a team I don't think that anybody really wants to play.
It is bananas to me that the Houston Texans are the 2 seed right now.
Yeah.
Didn't they start 0-3, Ray?
Yeah. And they have a good chance. Yeah. They play in Philadelphia this week. But then I believe they close maybe with the Jaguars or something like that. So they have a good chance to keep that number 2 seed.
Let's say if Indianapolis moved up, who are we eliminating? Is it Baltimore from that discussion?
It has to be. I think it has to be Baltimore. I didn't really go through Pittsburgh's schedule. It's obviously not the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers have already clinched a playoff spot. So yeah, it's Baltimore or I guess Pittsburgh. But that's, yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Just stunned that you don't want to go to the Tennessee Titans, right? I would love to see Cleveland in, but obviously that's certainly not going to happen. NFC side, Ray, this one is like super thin. There are 6 teams, and that's it. Like Philly, if Carson Wentz was in, I might suggest them. I'm certainly not going to do Washington with Josh Johnson, and Carolina, whatever. So, Ray, like the 6 is set. This is all we can do with this.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. Okay. I mean, it will be true if the Eagles lose to the Texans. I think that will pretty much end things. But I mean, the Vikings, I believe, have the Bears in week 17. And if the Eagles could somehow win, they have Washington in week 17, maybe with Carson Wentz. They're not putting him on injured reserve. Maybe with Carson Wentz in that game. I don't think this is done and dusted. I think it's close. I think it's almost done. But there could be some fireworks week 17. But I think your overall point here is that we're not really,
from an entertainment perspective, this is the 6 that we want. We want New Orleans, Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, Seattle, and Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see a big difference between Minnesota and Philadelphia at this point.
Oh.
Especially if they're able to get back. I mean, Minnesota they ended up blowing out the Dolphins, but they tried to give that game back. Kirk Cousins threw a hilarious in a pick 6 on a screenplay. I guess it was a good play. I believe it was Minka that made it. But like it was not a good one. They started off strong with their running game, and then just kind of the offense went into the toilet. Cousins made one nice throw to Aldrick Robinson to kind of seal it. But their defense is good. They destroyed Ryan Tannehill, but I don't really like watching that team very much. And the idea of the Eagles getting their swagger back as a 6 seed with Carson Wentz playing through a broken back, that's more appealing to me for some reason.
There we go, Ray. Thanks so much, dude. You can check out Ray's column up on RotoWorld right now to help you win your fantasy championship. It's the waiver column. Also, Ray's back on the Thursday episode. I'm back on the Friday episode of this very podcast. So hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.